Sexy Young.
Tim Hasselbeck here with us on the show. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline's got the afternoon shift today. Remember, you can always check us out. We're brought to you by the new Zen Sports Sportsbook. With cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible, betting just got better. Download the Zen Sports Sportsbook app today.
There you go.
Tim Hasselbeck joins us. So, Tim, we just had a really interesting little philosophical discussion on potential NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year candidates and who we think we might back on that. Who would we predict has the best chance to win? We heard the MMQB podcast. They made an argument that Trent Richardson.
The running back a long time ago.
Yeah, the Alabama running back. Yeah, there's a guy that did not win the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
No, he didn't.
Award. But that it's easier, it seems like, for running backs to come in and have early success. But with the quarterbacks coming in this year, what are the chances that Anthony Richardson could be the Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a chance just because, look, he's, you know, if a quarterback is a starter and you end up having a pretty good year, then, you know, typically what ends up happening is, look, you'll get a lot of attention and a lot of love. I think, listen, it's something I feel like I was banging the drum on all draft season. I know, Will, you wanted it to keep going, but, like, the reality is, like, he's got 13 starts, and, like, they weren't all good. So, I don't know. I mean, like, yeah.
The argument they made, Tim, and this is where we'll bounce this off you, is they feel like Steichen can sort of recreate the scheme in Philadelphia that worked so well for Jalen Hurts. So do you buy that? Because as Derek and I were just talking about, sometimes the genius schemer uses that and then vaults into a head coaching position, and the new boss, like Irsay, says, okay, just do the same thing you did over there in Philadelphia. But it's not that simple, right. Is it?
No, I don't think it's that simple. And, like, just for context, you know, Hurts had an amazing year last year. Like, there's no question about that. But, like, in 2021, he threw 16 touchdowns. You know, so, you know, he played, and I know I've talked to you guys about this quite a bit. Like, he played a lot. Like, that's important to, you know, the development of a guy. Like, the expectations are like, hey, dial up those plays that you called last year. Like, it worked for them. Like, that's fine. Like, they had a really good offensive line. They have complete studs at wide receiver. They did a nice job, and they had a quarterback that had played a decent amount of football and had improved. And I would just take it a step further in terms of Hurts, and again, something we've talked about. Think how much college football Jalen Hurts played.
Mm. In two different places.
Before everyone coming to pro. And yes, great point. Two different places, meaning, look, had the whole Alabama experience of what they were doing with him there. And I think pretty well documented that Nick Saban is like, look, like going somewhere like Oklahoma, playing for Lincoln Riley is going to give you exposure to doing other things that we weren't doing that is going to end up being really good for you. So, I don't think you can just kind of gloss over that type of stuff.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Yeah, it's, you know, to try to recreate what they had in Philly, then you would have to bring A.J. Brown, you would have to bring Devontae Smith. They have a really good running back. You would have to bring Philadelphia's offensive line. So if that happened, then yes, I would say Richardson more than likely would have a good season. But as it stands, Indianapolis's offensive line isn't as good as their money should say, as the money should say they should be. Their receivers are not, other than Pittman Jr., the receivers are just average guys at best. They drafted a guy this year in Downs. They're hoping he could be the downfield threat. So it's highly unlikely to me. I think the kid has some success, but to ask him to do what Jalen Hurts did, I think that's too much for a rookie his first year.
Well, and hey, and how about, like, you know, we're talking about this, you know, typically we don't, you know, you're not always seeing running backs drafted, you know, very high, but now that we did this year, how about Jahmyr Gibbs? Like, here's the interesting thing about Jahmyr Gibbs. breakaway speed, three down back. They, you know, they move to get him in Detroit. They get him, and then they trade Swift. And so now the role is probably going to be gigantic for Gibbs, who's a versatile player in Detroit, which was one of the best offense in football last year, in a division that isn't very good. I mean, he may touch the ball 20 times a game. And so, you know, like, to me, you know, I guess to the point, like running backs can have such a huge impact on an offense just because of the volume of touches.
No, you're right about that. Now, there's been another gambling situation in the NFL. Isaiah Rodgers he's been betting on games. He even came out and basically said it himself. The NFLPA put out a statement, I think a couple of months ago, when stuff started to trickle out about different guys. He said, listen, these sites, whether you like it or not, they are informing the NFL that accounts are being opened or accounts are being had by NFL players. So do you expect to see more guys start to names start to come up in regards to betting? Because I don't think guys are listening when it comes to the betting issue when it's explained at the beginning of the year, because it seems like guys are getting caught making bets while they're in the building or on team buses or in the hotels, and they're just looking at it as, okay, I'm not betting on a team, I'm betting on maybe my college team, but you're still betting on a team, bus or hotel or facility.
Yeah, here's what I think, and I think this is where the NFLPA and DeMesa, you can weigh on this, obviously, your experience with the PA. I think there are certain issues that, for whatever the reason, the messaging from the PA to its members about things that they got to stay away from sometimes just doesn't get communicated great. And sometimes it's the PA's fault because they – you know, I think they say it one time in a meeting at the start of training camp and that the message is going to be heard loud and clear. And so sometimes it's their fault. And then other times it's because guys, you know, aren't taking it serious enough and paying attention to it. And look, I don't care if it was about drinking and driving. I don't care if it's about owning a firearm. I don't care if it's about drinking on an airplane. I don't, like, I think it, a number of issues that, just for whatever reason, it's not being communicated or received with the magnitude and importance that it needs to be received with. I just, like, and I would even ask you, and I know times have changed since you and I were players, do you feel like you ever really were really told about gambling and how much of a problem it was for the NFL if a player were to gamble?
No, not really.
Because I can just tell you from my experience, like, I can't even remember a single, you know, warning shot on it. I mean, I'm sure there were, but, like, I don't remember it. It wasn't a big deal.
It went from 0 to 100 miles an hour overnight, right? It went from not being discussed to all of a sudden it's everywhere, right, with all these sites and advertisements that you can't look away from.
Listen, I'll take it a step further. Dogfighting. Like there were things – now, granted, listen, I'm mentioning things that some of them legal, some of them illegal, like just whether you're playing in the NFL or not. But, like, there, when stuff starts to happen where guys get in trouble, like the eyebrows that get raised in locker rooms, like, hold up, wait a second, he got in trouble for what? Like, that happens. And so, look, I can't say I know what the reason is for it, of why it doesn't get communicated properly or received properly, but I feel like that is a big deal. So to directly answer your question, do I think that there are guys that are sweating it out right now? Like, oh my gosh, like I was betting on games through this app. I'm about to get turned in. Yeah, I do think that there are guys that are probably scared to death about it.
Yeah, there has to be. And you're right, Tim, about the whole betting thing. And there are other things that are within the bylaws of the NFL that, when you get in there as a team rep, you're talking to these young men or adults, older men, And some of them are listening. Some of them are not. Some of them just can't wait to get out of the room because it's like, man,
when is this meeting over?
Yeah. Exactly. But it's truthfully how it was. And you just hope now that guys are starting to get popped for it. It could be innocent bets, but they got to understand that when you're doing it on team time, whether it's in a hotel, whether it's on a bus, whether it's in a locker room, on a playing field, right before practice as you're walking out, you can't do it. And I don't think that message is being relayed properly to guys.
Well, listen, when you look at what the magnitude of the suspension is and how much it hurts a guy's career, the fact that we're seeing guys get in trouble for it, miss entire seasons, and honestly, like, I guess I would probably say, and I don't know some of the details on it, but probably relatively like innocuous like bets, right? Like if a guy's putting $50 on a basketball game or a college football game, or like, are you doing like the risk reward that I think that we've seen from some of these suspensions? I think it speaks to the point of I'm not sure guys really understand. Mm-hmm. Like that, you can't do this.
Yeah, and I think you have to sort of unless you punish heavily, they're not going to break their habits. You have to make a hard statement so that everybody else is, whoa, I'm not doing this now. I get the message. I don't want to sit out for six games. Tim, before we let you go, you just mentioned the Lions and the intriguing things that they've got going there in sort of a weak division. Another guy we're going to be talking about this week is Justin Fields. Along the lines of, okay, maybe Richardson another year or two down the road. Like, his growth, statistically, like, you do fantasy a lot. He helped some fantasy teams like mine last year, but it didn't translate to wins. Are they ready to start winning more in Chicago?
Look, I think they're going to be a much better team because the receivers are better. There's just a little more stability. I think his confidence has grown. You know, I worry about them a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. And so in terms of, hey, are they a team that's a contender? I think we're far off from, that point where we say, yeah, like this is a team that, look, we see them winning the division. I just don't think defensively they're there. And because of that, I was just comparing them to a team in a division like the Lions. Look, the Lions were horrible on defense last year. They're going to be better. They've added good players. And then offensively, I think you could say, look, that's a young receiving core that's growing and that type of thing. So I think they're far off from that. But I do think we're going to see an improved Justin Fields. I think we're going to see an improved Bears team, but they had a long way to go.
Do you feel, if you're the Bears, that he's tracking towards the type of, I hesitate to say franchise quarterback, but first-rate starter that they were looking for when they invested what they invested in him?
I do, and look, when I thought I saw Cam Newton qualities in him when he was coming out. Like, that's what I saw. I saw an unbelievable athlete who was big and strong and had physical traits that you just don't typically find, who was an accurate thrower, who I think had a better understanding of the passing game than he probably was getting credit for. And so, I think he has that type of talent. I think we've seen the improvement. And I would be shocked if he doesn't play at a high starter level this season. And I think probably has the ability as people around him get better and he gets more experience and confidence and things like that, that he takes it up another notch after that.
Tim, good stuff. And just a side note, great stuff on Henry Hasselbeck with the being recruited for football and lacrosse. How many people can say that that happens? Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, listen, big news. I mean, look, here's what we got. We've got he's actually already committed to Maryland to play lacrosse. I know we're not in lacrosse country, but that's a big deal. That's like top program.
That's
in,
high
in
level
lacrosse. But I don't think that's nearly as big as the fact that, you know, he was in East Lansing last weekend.
And
left with a Michigan State offer. Now, the only drawback there is, it's just like, do they ever get any good receivers to play at Michigan State? Like,
Yeah. Well, listen, he doesn't have to worry about that. They have some good receivers for him.
Can you imagine the unification of the Hasselbeck and Mason families if he goes to Michigan State? This is going to become a pep rally for the Spartans.
You can come on anytime you want to, then, Tim. We talk Spartans all day.
I mean, Mace, will you give him permission to wear his number?
Absolutely.
Would you do that?
Because okay. My first number was 13, so he can have
the quarterback number. Okay,
there we go. Now we're talking. He can get down with that.
Oh, great stuff! All right, Tim, we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for joining us once again.
Sounds good. See you, fellas.
All right, Tim Hasselbeck joining us here on the show. Always great radio for sure. And check out the news on Henry Hasselbeck. Mm-hmm. In the Athletic. Pretty cool story.
Yeah, these kids, man. When I saw them when they were knee-high to a grasshopper, and now he's getting recruited by Maryland to play lacrosse, Michigan State to play football. Man, goodness.
That's good stuff. All right, when we come back, we'll have more. We're going to get more into these topics here about the developments of quarterbacks because we know here in this town it is the question, right? Can they develop the next quarterback beyond what they have right now in Ryan Tannehill. We'll talk about that when we come back here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace.